who is absolutely amazing, who is huge, who is, I should ask you guys just to go over on this side of the church. No, I'm just kidding. Who is huge, who is everything. I mean, he has some 200 plus or minus names in the New Testament that describes who he is. And so, as you remember, and I've said a couple times now, that through prophetic words, through Pat and others, and through when he spoke to me, we have been instructed by God to look at the height, the depth, the length, and the width of Jesus, because he's bigger. Or I shouldn't say bigger. There's more to him than salvation. Much, much more than salvation. It's, you know, that's why I have notes, because of all of the rabbit trails that go through my mind. And I was about to start following one, which I don't need to follow. But the truth of the matter thing is, everything is found in Jesus. The Old Testament points to the New. New Testament points back to Jesus. Everything flows out of Jesus. The old is in the new contained. The new is in the old. New is in the old contained. The old is in the new explained. And it's just how it is. And we need to be a people that just submits ourselves to Jesus. And as we talked about last week, to submit ourselves to him as the Lord and Master. Jude 4, for certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. And when you look at those words for remember Jesus and for Master and Lord, it's the same Greek word, and it means owner, possessor, chief, leader, authority, ruler, the one who commands, or as I like to put it, the HHICOE, Jesus is the head honcho in charge of everything. Everything has been put into his kingdom, where he is the king, which we'll talk about sometime probably down the road. See, the truth is, in everything we do, everything, from the time we get up in the morning and our eyes pop open for the very first time till the next morning when they pop open, everything we do should be submitted to Jesus. Our dreams should be submitted to Jesus. We should be in constant communication with him because he's our Lord. He's our Master. And as soon as we start submitting to other things, that becomes our Lord, whether it's ourselves, whether it's friends or it's family or it's our pocketbook or it's legalism or selfishness or jobs or friends or, I already said that, didn't I? And it could even be doctrine or theology that we start lifting up above the name of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that as Jesus is really Lord of our lives, then we will walk in freedom. I believe that. And likewise, I believe that we will be walking in joy, that we'll be walking in peace, that we'll be walking in patience, all the fruits of the Spirit, because we'll be walking in his presence, becoming more and more like him. Okay? Now, the opposite is also true, that if anything else is Lord of our lives, I believe we walk in bondage. We may think we're happy, but look around the world. We may think we're doing well, but we're in bondage, and we're walking in impatience, and we're walking in restlessness, and we're walking in the lack of godly joy and all those other things. And I think we're more open to sin. You know, Romans 6 talks about how sin, we're not subject to sin. But that's only when we're walking with Jesus as our Lord and Master. But if we're choosing to walk with something else being our Lord, then that kind of disappears. I like what it talks about in Luke 6:46. If Jesus is our Lord and Master, we will build our spiritual houses on a solid foundation which will withstand the attacks of the enemy. It doesn't say we'll build these houses on solid foundation and don't have to, there won't be any attacks. Because there will be attacks. If you're in the kingdom, there will be attacks. But if something else is our Lord and Master, our spiritual houses will not be built on a solid foundation and could be easily ruined by attacks of the enemy. We are in a spiritual war. We are an offense. And more in this country, Christianity is becoming an offense. If you haven't read the papers or listened to the news or anything like that, then you're probably not aware of that. But you only have to listen to the news for just a little bit to figure that out. We are no longer to put ourselves in a position where we serve impurity. We are to put ourselves in a position where we serve righteousness, because serving impurity leads to bad fruit, while serving righteousness leads to good fruit. Yeah, I understand that the unholy three, Satan and his cohorts, the world, the flesh, it's going to try to do its best from seeking Jesus, from making Jesus our Lord and Master. I mean, there's temptations out there, you know? There's all kinds of things that can take that from us. Because he's always lying, old slewfoot is. He's always tempting us. He's always deceiving us. He's always trying to pervert everything that we put our hands to. He's always trying to accuse us of everything, that we do all things wrong. That's why we have to submit to Jesus in everything we do. That's why our faith has to be rooted in Jesus, totally focused on him. And you've heard me say this before. I don't believe in the priority system of God first, spouse second, child third, days of our lives 43rd. You know, I believe that we need to focus and center our lives upon the triune God and let him take care of the rest. Not saying some things we do is evil, but we do need to look at it and go, is this replaced Jesus in part of our life? We do need to look at that. You know, there's nothing wrong with sports or this or that or the other thing. You know, I mean, it's kind of a sad day. Neither the Chiefs or the Broncos are in the Super Bowl. But is that our God? You know, the people I know that are, you know, Bronco fanatics, I don't understand why they are, but those that are, I'm just getting a smile. I'm not getting anything thrown at me, which is good. Not yet. Not yet. That's right. The population's growing, isn't it? Oh, well. Put foot in mouth. Anybody got any salt or pepper? But our faith has to be rooted. It has to be centered in him. We have to have Jesus in a place where we are solely focused on him. Or, as it puts in the scriptures, where he is the author and finisher of our faith, which is the names we're going to get into this week. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Just looking at this real quickly and then getting into the author and finisher, but we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Have you ever wondered what that means? There are many people that have gone before us that are recorded in Scripture that gives us a clue, that helps us to understand, who encourages us with their stories and the things that they share and the way they've lived their life in the pages of Scripture on how we are to walk, because they are an example of faith to us. I've heard people say, you know, the Bible stories are for the kids. Oh, yeah? I love to see how David lived his life, how Moses did, how Rahab, the amazing, I mean, she's in there for just a brief period of time, but the significant part that she played, and just the others. Because it helps us to see that we can do it by the grace of God. They speak to us by examples of faith. An example of that is found in Hebrews 11:4 in the New Living Translation, where it says, although Abel is long dead, yeah, quite a bit, he still speaks to us by his example of faith, because it just understands the story there and how he pleased God with his faith. But there's stories about David, Rahab, Moses, Noah, Paul, Dorcas, Peter, Bartholomew, Matthias, Onesiphorus, who's one of my favorite names. I had this conversation with God a number of years ago. Chris doesn't know this. But if I ever had a boy, I wanted to name him Onesiphorus. I thought that was just a cool name. And we were going to call him O. And it's funny because we have a nephew whose name is Owen, who everybody calls O. But couldn't you see it? Onesiphorus Behrens. It just has a ring to it. As my wife goes into hysteria. He'd be a tough dude, though. Hey, Onesiphorus, where are you? Yeah, that's true. That's true. It is better than a boy named Sue. But all these people, they live life well. The life that they live, did they live it perfectly? No. That's the amazing thing about it. I love Peter. Peter would have been better off if he would have kept his mouth shut most of the time. I love him because of that. And yet, he played such an integral part in building the kingdom of God. See, we can look at these people and go, wow, I've blown it, God, but guess what? You haven't written those people off, so I know you're not going to write me off. You're still going to use me. See, that's grace. That's his mercy. That's just who Jesus is. See, the Old Testament was put there to show us we couldn't do it, and that's why Jesus went to the cross. And now Jesus, when he said it's all finished, it's taken care of, it's all finished, it's finished. He took care of it all. All of our sins have already been forgiven. We've talked about that in the past. But all these people laid it out. They lay out scripture in scripture, what they saw, what they heard, what their intimate relationship with God and Jesus and what it was like to walk their lives out, focus upon God, the benefits, which encourages us, this cloud of witnesses encourages us to throw everything off. It keeps us running after Jesus. That causes something else to be our Lord. God witnessed to me many years ago, and I told you the story about last week of in the hospital room when the pain and the white light and God was there and as I've never sensed him before. And he asked me if I was willing to give up everything for him. That he wants us totally focus on him. To be people that are willing to sell everything we have to get the pearl of great price, as it talks about in Matthew 13. To be people that is willing to give up everything we have to get the treasure that's buried in the field that's talked about in Matthew 13. To be people that holds everything we have loosely. That's hard to do. You know, I know it's hard to do because I had to hold my late wife loosely. So it can be difficult. But he's the author and finisher of our faith. See, Jesus is the one that's responsible for faith. And in that, going back up there to that scripture there in Hebrews 12, where it talks about the author, the Greek word arhegos, It means founder. It means initiator. It means originator. It means leader. It means chief at first, the beginning. See, it says it this way in NKJV, Jesus, the author of faith. In the ESV, it says the founder of our faith. In the NLT, it says the one who initiates our faith. See, Jesus is the one who took the initial steps necessary for us to become a Christian. And all you have to do is go back to Isaiah to understand that our personal righteousness before we were believers was this filthy rags. And if you understand what that filthy rags is, if you don't understand, ask a woman who does understand. That God had to speak to us. He had to do something to woo us. Now, why some people turn him down is beyond me, but some do. But fortunately, we didn't. But he took the initial phase, initial steps. See, as it talks about the kenosis of Christ in Philippians 2, where he humbled himself even unto the point of becoming a man, the life that he chose to walk, the crucifixion that he chose to go through, even though in the garden he said prayed three times, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will, but yours, O Lord, yours, God. The resurrection, the ascension, the wooing that he continues to do today, wooing and touching people's hearts, and the ongoing intercession that he does for us. See, Jesus not only authored our faith, though, he finished it. And the word finisher is teleoetes, means to complete, the completer, perfecter, the one who perfects. And in NKJV, it puts it like this, Jesus is the finisher of our faith. In the ESV, it's Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. NLT, Jesus is the one who perfects our faith. Jesus makes it possible for us to walk out our faith. I have no problem saying I can't do it myself. I have to have time with him. I have to get in his word. I have to have relationship with you folks to encourage me. I so appreciated the word that Michelle shared this morning about the clock, because I was grousing this week to God saying, okay, you've given this word, you've given this word, just given this word, just given. When? I'm still alive, you didn't kill me. And so I don't know if that word was for anybody else, but I told Michelle it was for me. For this church, because I believe what God's doing. I believe what God's going to do. And then there can be things I can see with my eyes that can fill me with a lack of faith. But I need to hear from God. I need to get in his word to be renewed in faith. What's it say in Romans? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We need each other. We need this Bible. We need the prophetic, even as Pat talked about two weeks ago, whenever it was, because it builds up, edifies, encourages, and strengthens us. We need to pray for each other. Speaking of prayer, we are going to go into a time of prayer starting on the 14th of February until the Monday before Fat Tuesday, which is the whole period of Lent, for those who, and fasting. Everybody in here is called to a 40-day fast. How does that sound? This is God speaking. What are you laughing at? But I am calling us to fast for 40 days. Now, give up chocolate, give up something, you know, fast one meal a day. I don't really care, but I really do want us to make an increased effort on fasting. I mean, I admit, I can't. If I tried to fast 3 days without eating, my system would be so messed up because of the system that's so messed up that I already have. Unless God told me to do that, and then I'm sure he would get me through it. But think about it, pray into it. That was a rabbit trail. But Jesus helps us to reach the goal and win the prize. He helps us to finish the race that has been set before us. See, he's the author of our salvation. He's the one that causes it to lay the foundation in our hearts. He's the finisher of our salvation. He's the one that's going to bring our faith to completion and is involved in every step of the way. Paul puts it this way, Philippians 1:6, And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The grace that God initially shed in our lives, in our hearts, when we became saved, will not remain unfinished. What God started in us, he is faithful to finish. Yes, we can make the choice to do stupid things, but he is committed to finishing it. The good work that God began, he will continue up to that day that we stand in the very presence of the living God as we bow before Jesus, or as I suspect we will do, as we are prone before Jesus. So back to Hebrews 12:2. Jesus did where it says he did it for the joy set before him. He did it for the joy that was set before him as he endured the cross. Theologically, what this means is he knew the resurrection was coming, that the crucifixion was not the end. And that gave him great joy. I mean, think about it. If you're facing a cross and that's where it ended, would there be a lot of joy? But he knew that wasn't the end. He knew that he wasn't trapped eternally in the grave. He knew that he would be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew that he would be resurrected and he would ascend. What great joy that gave him. But I also believe, church, that there was joy there because he knew what he was doing and that he was lovingly and willingly walking through it all for us. Because he knew that out of it would come our salvation. He knew that out of it would come the fact that we were born again. He had great joy because of the great love that he has for us, knowing that we would spend eternity with him. Him as our Lord and Master, and as our author and finisher, and us as his adoring servants. Joy enabled Jesus to go to the cross despite the shame of it all. John the Revelator also talks in Revelation about Jesus, how Jesus is involved in every aspect of our faith. Revelations 1:17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." That's Jesus speaking. As John fell before the feet of Jesus, he recognized how Jesus was describing himself in this verse and elsewhere. He, I believe, got this revelation that he saw, because he said here, "As I am, the I am," as he also said in John 8:58, when the Pharisees were going to stone him. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." In other words, he was seeing himself as God. But he also saw that Jesus was talking as the creator, as it outlines in John 1:3 in the New Living Translation. God created everything through him. And some versions say, the Word, or Jesus, and nothing was created except through him. And as the author of salvation is discussed in Hebrews 2:10, "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering, as the firstborn from the dead," as discussed in Colossians 1:18. "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent," he might be first, and going back to Philippians 1:6, that he'll bring it to completion. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Wow. What can you say but wow? He's always there. He's always with us. Driving down the road, having that bad day, letting that curse word slip out of your mouth, doing something stupid, and I know nobody here does anything stupid besides me. When you get irate at a friend, or you have an argument with your spouse, or you spank your child or something when you shouldn't have, impatience, He's always there with us. We've talked about forgiveness. We've talked about repentance. We need him all the time, through everything, with all we need flowing out of him to us. I believe everything that he has, as we seek him, it flows into us. John then repeats the same theme using a new phrase, this time quoting God. Revelation 21:6, the first part. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's done. Literally what that means is they have become reality. It is done means it has become reality. It is no longer a thought. It is reality. Just like the prophetic words that are spoken over us from God, they are reality. We may not see them yet, but in God's time, which is outside of our time, God's not constricted with the 24-hour clock, the 365-day calendar. See, when Jesus, when this was spoken by God, he spoke as if all things have already been renewed. Because in God's mind, in his mind, they had. That's how he's looking at it. That's why Jesus could say, it is finished, because he was looking at it, not at that moment, but in all time. That in all time, it was taken care of. 2,000 years later, when I was born, 1,946 years later, when I was born. And in 1953, on April 17th at 2:30 in the afternoon, when I committed that sin I committed, he already had seen that and in his time knew it happened and it had already been forgiven. That's mind-blowing. That I think about that and I just go, because he did that. And why do we then need to repent? Well, go back to our internet site and look for that. Because I went through a whole teaching of why we do that. But it basically boils down to so we can walk out of shame. Because when you correct a child, those who have had children, and you correct a child, what's the first thing the kid do? Shame. Unless there's really hardness of heart there, but most of the time it's shame. And then Jesus speaks forth what God previously said, adding another phrase in Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And in this statement, this is a powerful statement. Jesus places himself equal to God in power and authority. He makes the same claim as God did previously, that he is the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. We're one and the same. Jesus is saying that he is God. Has anybody ever said to you, it doesn't say anywhere that Jesus is God? Well, here's one spot, but I can give you about 20 or 30 others. Now, I have not found where Jesus said, I am God. He said, I am. There's only one other person that used that phrase. But he's saying he's God, that he's eternal and divine. Think about who this Jesus is, in addition to God and our Savior and the ones that we're going to look at in the days ahead. He's our Lord and our Master. He's our author and finisher. He initiates and perfects our faith. He's the great I Am. He's the Creator. He's the firstborn from the dead. He brings all things to completion. He's the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Just think about those things. And that should carry you through the rest of this year. I sent out a thing, and I'm reading through the scriptures. I'm trying to read through the New Testament 4 times this year. And I really do encourage all of us to do that. It has been extremely powerful, and you'll see some of the fruit of that next week, and that's all I'm going to say at this point. But I also encourage you, I was talking to somebody, I'm not going to embarrass Taylor by saying her name. But I was talking to her, and she goes, it's hard to do. And I said, why? I didn't say why. She went on and started saying. She says, I read a part, and I get to a phrase, and I just get stuck on that phrase and start thinking about that phrase. And there's so much in just that phrase. There are. I mean, who here, you know, I've been walking with the Lord now for 40, well, this will be my 45th year come October. Who here has read a scripture recently that you've read a number of times and you went, when did Paul sneak that one in? So we need to do both. We need to be eating this thing, you know? We need to buffet our body with it. It needs to be a buffet, you know? It's huge. It's huge. See, these things I just listed, the Jesus that is always, 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 always with us. He's always right there with us. Each one of us. And you go, how's he do that? I don't know, but he does. And his Holy Spirit's there. How's he do that? I don't know, but he does. You know? I mean, these are some of the things that people in the world are going, you're crazy, man. Well, yeah, I am. I'm crazy for Jesus. I'd rather be crazy for him than some of the other stuff. But he's always with us, walking with us, and all that he has for us. He has so much more than we know. And we just need to keep going after him. If the worship team wants to come back up, we just need to keep going after him. Keep running the race that is set before us, the race that started with our salvation, the race that goes through sanctification, the race that goes all the way to glorification. See, I believe this. Everything that is good, everything that is important, everything that is needed, everything that our hearts desire, it's like Psalm 37:4, which I share with people a lot. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will grant you the desires of your heart. If any of you have unsaved anyone's, that's a promise that they will get saved if you delight yourself in the Lord. It's a promise. But it's also a promise that as we delight ourselves in God, he's going to grant us desires of our heart. But as we delight ourselves in the Lord, our desires may not be a new Maserati. It's probably going to be a greater relationship with him. It's probably going to want to see your friend blessed. It's probably going to be want to see a friend of yours walk out of a wheelchair. It's probably going to be that you want to bless somebody with some funds. Just warning you. But it'll be good. But it all flows out of Jesus into our lives. That's why we need to look at the height, the depth, the width, and the length of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Because he is much, much bigger than we understand. And he's much, much bigger than we're able to comprehend. You know the story. I had 95% figured out in 2 years. And today it's 1 × 10⁻⁶ dropping. It's got 500 zeros right after the point. But we're going to continue to look at them for a while until Holy Spirit moves us on. I know we're not going to go through all 200 names, although we've covered about 10 of them already. So, just want to pray. We got Super Bowl tonight. But next Sunday is a greater event night. We have prayer. So I really encourage us to pray. To pray into the prophetic words that you personally have received. Pray into. I've sent a lot of them out over the years. If you don't have them, write me, and I'll send out 6 or 8 again. and pray into them. We just need to pray into them. We need to believe God. We need to take this clock thing and know that it's God's timing. Moses, 40 years. Joseph, 13. Gary, 14. Not comparing myself with those guys. It just took 14 years for a prophetic word that I was going to be a pastor to come to pass. And the thing I liked about what the prophetic word was that came forth, other than it really encouraged me when I needed to be encouraged, is he's doing things in our lives right now. Each one of us. Even in the midst of pain. Even if we don't think so. Even if we think he's given up on me. So I'm going to pray for us, because somebody wants to have hands laid on and be anointed well for healing come up. But I'm just going to be bold. I know all of us have dealt with from time to time that we are not worthy, that he's given up on us, that we've been frustrated, that I'm not even sure God loves me. I know that. Because you're a human being. But guess what? God just smiles and says, I'm still doing things. Hallelujah. You know? I don't know, Janita, why you had that accident. Okay? There's theologies all over the place. But I do know this. He never turned his back upon you. That he's still doing amazing things within you. And even as I'm gazing upon you, he's preparing you for what he has for you to do. Because it's not a lost thing. It's something that I think he's going to use in your life in the days ahead, weeks, I don't know when, to minister to other people. Might be in a hospital. I know God's already using you down at Camp David and other places. But I think he's going to be expanding it over the years. And that even now he's preparing you for the things that he has for you. You know, and Jacob, you felt like, well, it cost me a year of a marriage to the woman I love. But it didn't cost you a year. Because in that year, he was doing things in your life. Great things. Because you're a better husband for it now. Just so you don't get arrogant, you haven't arrived yet. Okay, I understand that. But God has your hands upon you guys. God has his hands on all of us. But, you know, it's just, we just need to understand that. I confess to you, I can look around this room and get discouraged. Not because of who's here, but because of who's not here. And I don't talk about it a lot, but I'm just saying I'm human, okay? But I believe the promises of God. I really do believe the promises of God. And if it would get down to Chris leading worship by herself and me preaching to the chairs, which I know there's some of you crazy enough that you're not going to leave, that I still have to believe the promises of God. We can't look through natural eyes. We have to look through spiritual eyes. But at the same time, God has brought new people along, you know, and you know, I talked to, well, never mind, just stop it there. So God is doing what God is doing. He's preparing his hearts. Preparing hearts. He's doing whatever he is doing. And we can't always tell what God is doing. But we can say that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's there from beginning to end. He's always there. And he's leading and guiding us. And he will provide all of our needs and then some. I look around this room and everybody I know is living beyond your needs. We may not feel that way at times, I don't need a Harley Davidson motorcycle. Okay? I confess that before you, Lord. And we all have stuff we don't need. But God's a God of blessing. And he's going to fulfill his word. And I believe it in the name of Jesus. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. So I'm going to pray. If, like I said, if anybody needs, wants to be hands laid on for healing or anything, just come forward. But Father, I lift all of us up before you. Just extend your hands to the Lord. Lord, we just lift our hands to you in the name of Jesus, knowing that you are a God that grabs them and that you will not leave hold of us and that you will supply all our needs and that even now you are doing everything we need within our lives. And our task simply is to seek first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And your promise is clear. That you will supply all our needs. So, Father, we commit to you to do that. And we confess, Lord, that there are times when we just feel like giving up. But we know you won't allow that. We know you'll send along this sister or this brother or this person or that person. Or Holy Spirit will just bring us to conviction. So, Father, bring healing where healing is needed. Bring patience where patience is needed. Bring whatever it is that we all need. But let us know and let us walk and let us run the race that is set before us because you, O God, are worth everything. You, Jesus, is worth everything. Everything. Because if all we had was a relationship with Jesus, an eternal relationship with Jesus, that's pretty cool. Amen? That's pretty cool. But you have given us so much more. And we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for the prophetic words that you have brought over this house through Pat and others, Father God. We thank you that you're going to bring them to pass in your good timing. We thank you that you even encourage us by bringing word this morning to encourage us that you are doing things even in our lives now and that you are setting the clock and cleaning it and getting it ready for what you have for us.
Yes, God.
So, Lord, let us not lose faith, but let us seek you. Let us run the race set before you. Let us do what you have called us to do because you are God and there is no other. And the church said, amen. Let's stand and worship the living God.